Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. Now I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Looking at a portrait by David Lenz is almost like looking at a photograph. The realist painter creates familiar scenes with delicate brushstrokes and crisp lines that mirror and elevate their real-life subjects.
Lenz is perhaps most well-known for his piece, Sam and the Perfect World, which depicts his son Sam, who has Down syndrome. The painting follows a theme in Lenz's work, which inspired the title of his current exhibit, People on the Periphery, which is now on display at the Museum of Wisconsin Art.
Lenz joined Lake Effect's Joy Powers in the studio, along with Graham Reed, the curator of the exhibit. Reed starts by explaining how this exhibit fits in Lenz's larger body of work.
It serves a dual function. It really is a retrospective. There's a 32-year gap between the first painting of Niagara Falls in 1984 to Youth in the Great Divide, which was finished in September of 2016. But I think it's also, we also wanted to do this exhibition because David had a smaller retrospective at the Charles Alice Museum here in town back in, when was that, David?
2004.
Yeah. So since 2004, David won the Utwin Buchiever Portrait Competition that was sponsored by the National Portrait Gallery, and that really kind of catapulted him onto a different level. It basically established him as one of the finest portrait painters in the country. So it was about time that, you know, as the Museum of Wisconsin Art, we gave him a solo show. And so when David and I were discussing what was going to be in the exhibition, we decided that we would try and put as many unfamiliar, never before seen or rarely seen paintings into the exhibition. So it wasn't just a case where the visitor would come in and go, oh, I've seen this before, I've seen this before. It was kind of, I have not seen this painting, I have not seen this painting. And there's at least one, two, three, well, I'd say at least four paintings in the exhibition that have never been shown in public. And then I always remember when David saw the exhibition for the first time when it opened, it was almost like him visiting old friends, because there were several paintings that he hadn't probably seen in 15, 20 years or more. Yeah. So, you know, it's a retrospective, but it's also really an update on who we feel is one of the best portrait painters actually working in the country today.
So you've called it a retrospective, and a lot of these paintings do date back to the mid-80s.
Right.
Now you're using your work, you do these portraits with sort of the landscape as a metaphor. How does that compare to what you were doing in the 80s?
Well, a lot of that was happening back then as well. Really, I started out doing a series of paintings about children in the central city of Milwaukee. So the landscape then was the city itself, right? And, you know, talking about all the problems of the city and that confront children. That really gets to me because it's, you know, children are sort of the innocent bystanders of society. They didn't, you know, they weren't on the school board and they didn't pass the tax laws that affect them. But these effects are really real for them and for their lives. And so that city scene in back will contain all kinds of things that talk about that.
So children in the central city, that's one of the subjects that we're going
right.
to, or some of the subjects, I should say, that we're going to see in the exhibit. Who else will we see here?
Well, there's also a series of paintings about two dairy farmers that I got to know. I bought a piece of land in south central Wisconsin in the early 90s, and immediately I met the neighbors, the Wagners, and boy, with two interesting people, and they live on a small farm, probably never milk more than about 25 cows. They lived a very frugal life, extraordinarily frugal, but boy, they were fun to visit with. And so, you know, I got to know them over the years, and we visited them every time we went up there, and sooner or later, I have to paint the Wagners. It's just something I got to do. So it was about 8 years before I met them, and then 8 years until I did my first painting of them. And really, I painted them exclusively for about 5 years. And then the third area in the exhibition is people with intellectual disabilities. And that was inspired by my son, Sam, who was born in 97, and he has Down syndrome. And so there was this whole another world that opened up to me through Sam's eyes. And so now I'm also doing a series of paintings about people with intellectual disabilities. And again, how society and how society's attitudes affect them and their lives.
Why do you choose these subjects?
Really, if it boils down to, it's things that are really meaningful to me, things that get to me, ideas and situations that I feel really strongly about. And when I feel strongly about something, I got to make a painting. It's kind of, you know, that's my mode of communication. And I just, you know, I have to make a painting. I had to make a painting of the Wagners. I had to do a painting of Sam someday, and things I felt strongly about.
Why did you choose the paintings that you chose?
Well, they were, as I say, we wanted ones that covered a period of time, covered his major subject matter, hadn't been seen terribly often, even though there's a couple of kind of classics in there. But yeah, it was just to kind of show the breadth of his work. And I think also the sincerity of his work. I think one of the things that has always impressed me, and I was joking about this with David the other day, is David is in a very unusual position in that he doesn't have gallery representation and has never had gallery representation because David, as he just said, he wants to paint the pictures he feels he absolutely has to paint. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he feels that gallery representation would kind of push him in a direction of painting pictures that, you know, he didn't want to paint. But David's independence is kind of, you know, no, I paint, I have my career on my own terms, and these are the subjects that I am interested in, and these are the subjects that I am going to paint. And I know for a fact he's, you know, he's left money on the table because somebody's asked him to paint something that he just has no interest. It doesn't fit into his worldview, his philosophy, his beliefs, his area of interest, his area of expertise. And I think that's kind of rare that you have an artist who, I think, has that level of, as I mentioned in the catalog essay, his stubbornness.
That's perfectly summarized.
That's interesting. How do galleries influence work from artists?
You know, if David was represented by an artist, a gallery might say, okay, David, in 2019, we were going to give you a solo show and we need 15 or 16 works from you. And anybody who's seen David's work, and we won't get into the whole issue of how long it takes him to paint something, but David does not have what you would call a high output of work. It takes him a very long time to produce the paintings that he wants to do. And to basically say to him, you need to produce, you know, 15 paintings in the next 2 years. And then, you know, what if a gallery came to him and said, look, we have a very good client of the gallery. They would really like you to paint their, you know, their dog or whatever it might be. He's just setting himself up for conflict with the gallery because David would probably say, I'm just not interested in painting X, Y, or Z. This is what I paint. And I know this is the case. I mean, the latest painting in the exhibition, Youth and the Great Divide, that started off with a couple in Arizona wanting to commission David to do a portrait of their grandchildren. And you basically refused off the bat, didn't you?
It's not something I generally do.
Yeah, David doesn't do paintings of people's grandchildren. But the family, the White family, were open enough to basically let David paint the 10 grandchildren, but paint it in a way that fit in with his worldview, point of view. So it does fit in with the entire body of work, although it is a portrait of the 10 grandchildren, and that one's in the exhibition. So again, it goes back to David wanting just to basically do things on his terms and have complete artistic control.
They made it clear from the start that they wanted a piece of art, and he even said at one point, I don't even have to see all the kids' faces, for example. So I had complete artistic control, and that's something that's really wonderful to work with. And there was also a bug in sort of the back of my head from 20-some-odd years ago. I went hiking in the Grand Canyon with my wife, and you can't hike through there without being taken with it, as so many people have. I wanted to do a painting of the Grand Canyon, so this was kind of my opportunity. So it was fun. It worked on a number of different levels for me.
It's a beautiful piece. I mean, it does look like sort of a family portrait, but it is elevated in a way. And I guess one of the things about what I have often heard called hyper-realistic paintings is there are a lot of people who say, well, then why not take a photograph? Right. It looks like a photograph. Right. What is the beauty of hyper-realistic paintings beyond sort of what you can take with a lens?
Yeah, you know, it does have kind of a snapshot aesthetic to it. And that was actually intentional. It looks like, yeah, let's get the Gary and Kill kids in front, you know, Grand Canyon in the back, everybody looks good, take a picture. So it has that aspect to it. But what I did is I went through and I basically manipulated every aspect of the painting, every aspect of the scene, so that everybody's positioned very carefully. Everybody, you know, how they interact between them, how they're positioned next to the canyon, how close they are to the edge of the the rock that they're standing on, which is way too close. All these things are really intentional. So I get to sort of massage every visual element in the painting, and it all goes towards an end. It all goes towards getting my ideas across and also visually making a compelling piece. But so hopefully there is so much more depth and so much more depth of meaning than you would ever achieve in a snapshot, a true snapshot, even though there's some, you know, influence.
I think it goes back to when David was a student with a very well-known and a great Wisconsin painter called Tom Utech when they were studying up in Canada. And David would paint exactly what he saw in front of him up in Quetico National Park. And the review session at the end of the day, Tom would come over and he'd kind of point out to David that this little part of the painting was a little awkward or this part of the painting didn't work. And David was a little confused because he was painting exactly what was in front of him. And Tom basically said, look, you know, it's okay to change things to make your point or to make it a better painting. And I think that's a piece of advice that David's carried with him, because if you see the painting of Youth in the Great Divide, I mean, these kids, you would never put your 10 precious grandchildren where they're standing. I mean, if these kids take one step back, they're off the edge into the Grand Canyon. But the point is that David's trying to make is that here are these kids, whether you're at the Grand Canyon, whether you're in an inner city street in Milwaukee, one step in the wrong direction can mean the difference between being safe and not being safe. That's the bottom line, really, of that painting of, you know, whether it doesn't matter where you're from as a kid, you know, one step in the wrong direction and you're in trouble.
Well, Graham, David, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
David Lenz is a Wisconsin-based realist painter. His piece, Sam in the Perfect World, was awarded the grand prize at the inaugural Outwin Boochiever Portrait Competition.
You can see that painting and a retrospective of Lenz's work in an exhibition at the Museum of Wisconsin Art called People on the Periphery. The exhibition was curated by Graham Reed and will be on display through the first week of January. Lenz and Reed spoke with Joy Powers.